Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Interesting exchange between the disciples. Today's message is called Fishers of Men. Because if you talk about reconciliation, but you never talk about how or what you're supposed to reconcile, then you just have a cute little quote or maybe a motto or some kind of icon. I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of. But you have some kind of brand, you know, that you look like or talk like a Christian, but you don't have any power. Okay, and so that's something God is trying to speak to us in this moment. I can hear him say, not just this church, the body of Christ at large. I feel like he's saying at this moment of time, there's going to be opportunities and choices that we'll have to make. We're either going to come all the way in with him, or we're going to step all the way out. Because the Bible's pretty clear about light and darkness and how as days progress, does anybody believe that Jesus is coming again?
Yes.
Do you maybe? Yeah, about five of us? That's awesome. I believe that to my bones. I believe it all the way. It's why we do what we do. Because if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead and isn't coming back like he promised, then he might as well be Muhammad or Buddha or some idol. Jesus is the only name, you know, that can shut all those other names down. Jesus is the only one that gave his life for your life. What kind of king lays their life down for its subjects? Jesus does. He did. So there's an exchange that he has with his disciples. And he's walks onto their boat. And there's so many little side conversations to be had with this message. But when we talk about vision, mission, and reconciliation around here, this is what it is. It's reconciling men to God. Okay? Is this right? Is this right? It's totally distracting. Okay. So if we believe in the place that we're pursuers of God, and we are, that we're a people of prayer, we certainly are. We pray a lot of times when you don't see it. We pray a little bit during service. God started to convict me about that too. Pray more during service. Maybe have some of the elders of the church pray during service. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I don't want it to be a forced thing of the flesh. I want it to be something that he orders, and then it's kind of holy like that. Does that make sense? So we're pursuers of his presence. We are people of prayer. Then we start to perceive his presence when it's in the room, when it's on us. Oh, that's God. God is moving. God is ordering this. God is making a divine appointment for me. God is speaking to me. And then we start to enter into that kind of a presence. And when we discover those things, we start to possess the land. Last week, we talked about possessing the land, how to actually do that. We talked about Joshua and Caleb, the oldest dudes in the whole tribe. And they're like, pick me, I'll take the hard country. I'm as fit now as I've ever been. Spiritually speaking, I could probably take more land than a 20-year-old right now. Spiritually speaking, right? We need the benefit of youth that has exuberance and vitality and a boldness, you know, and a longevity about them, coupled with the older people that have vision and wisdom and experience. That together is a dynamic. We have it in this room. We just got to figure out what the magic sauce is to make it evangelistic. God's going to speak to us. He always does. So Jesus does the thing where he goes onto the boat of Peter and Andrew, and he says, follow me. I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. Well, they're fishermen, in case you missed that part. They're on a boat, they're fishing, and they'd fished all night, and they didn't catch anything. And Jesus went on their boat before this moment. And if you want to read these stories, I mean, they're everywhere in the Gospels, but Luke has it broken down in kind of like a chronological order. I'm just going to teach it to us today. I think it's Matthew when we get there. But if you want to read it like the comparisons, if you want to be a student of the Word, you want to look in there and see what the Word is actually saying and how it's teaching and how it's laying these things out, you should do it. Luke is the one. So Jesus had gone on the boat of Peter before this, and he said, hey, cast your net out again. Remember, it's like you get so tired of doing something and you've exhausted yourself in doing it. And then the Lord will give you a word to do it again. Did anybody? Does that only happen to me? Oh, okay. Well, it happens to me. Okay. And then what I do is I'm like, seriously, Lord, you know, I have to be nice again. I got to take it again. I got to be the one to do the work again. I got to serve again. You know, and does anybody else feel that way? Is it too real for this room? I don't think it is. I think I'm in the right place. And so then what happens, you know, it's like Jesus asks Peter, he just tells him, he says, hey, throw your net out again on that side. And when Peter does it, remember what happens in the story? There's a haul they can't even hardly carry, right? Calls his friend over and they load up two boats and the haul is so big they can barely bring it in because Jesus said to do it. You know, there's going to be a lot of side things that God's going to speak to you while we're talking about this, okay? There's going to be a lot of things that come up in your heart on the side. Like for me, when I read that, it's like go into the place where people are. Go into someone's boat. If you're waiting to be an evangelist and win someone to the Lord from your house, that's going to have to be a lawn care guy, a kid bringing a brochure that wants to sell you something, a roofer, a pizza delivery guy, okay? But if you start to go out into someone else's boat, how many people leave their home? If you're not agoraphobic, you leave your home. You have all left your home. You're here this morning. 100% of you left your home, okay? It's not a trick. So you leave your home, and what happens when you go out and about? You encounter people. Now, in these days that we live, sometimes you encounter people, and your mind can go to, what an idiot, or what a horrible driver, or honk, don't cut me off. And some of us are still in the blankety blank blank blank, you cut me off. And so it's like we gotta flip a little switch in there that starts to look at people as the redeemed of the Lord. And we need to say so, you know. We need to start looking at people as the object of his affection and start to reach for them. Enter their world, enter their boat. That's why I had Christine talk about Restored for More this morning. That is a ministry by which Christian people, by largely Christian people, some of our tutors have also come to know Jesus from hanging out with us, tutoring kids, but that's another story for another day. It's all about kingdom building. It's all about taking your life from the first conversion that you had in salvation with Jesus to the second conversion of a church life instead of a neutral, self-serving life that doesn't have anything to do with the glory of God. It's lordship. When I come into the house and I start to serve and I start to give and I start to be part of something and I left that old life behind, second conversion. Third conversion into the mission of what God is doing on the earth. That's where I live. That's where I want all of us to live. And that's why when we preach like this, it feels like exciting and it feels like, wow, that could that be me, Lord? I don't know. I mean, she could do that, but I probably can't do that. That's not true. You have a sphere I don't have. I've been saying that for 10 years. There are people that will listen to you that will never listen to me. There are people that you know that I don't know. And there's a whole world out there at Walmart and Hobby Lobby and, you know, every mall that you can go to and you can speak to people. Sometimes Angie and I, we haven't done this in a while. A couple months. We did a couple months ago. We just went and sat at the mall, and we went and sat in the massage chairs, and Angie, you know, she didn't pay for my massage or anything like that. We just sat there. We just sat there in the chairs. But we were looking at who was coming and going, and we intentionally said, who does God want us to talk to? And you know what? Of course, Angie will talk to anybody, you know, but I don't do that. I got to wait. I got to see what the Lord is saying, and she does that too, but people will come by, and they'll come in. And I remember this girl was young. She came right to us. It wasn't us. It was the Spirit of God. When you set yourself on purpose to encounter someone, the Lord will make sure someone is encountered by you. And it's not even about you. If I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You know, I'm going to take the cross so that you can take the cross. I'm going to take this thing, and I'm going to trust you to carry it from now on, right? It's heavy. Don't lay it down. Now is the time. God's trying to wake up the body of Christ while there's still time. So I'll tell you something too. You know, we want to make Christians into disciples around here. There is a call to salvation. I believe you're all saved. I believe you're all justified because of Jesus' work on the cross. I believe you're sanctified. There's a call on your life by the hand of God. I believe that. Do you believe that? It really doesn't matter if I believe it. If you don't believe it, you got to believe it to make it start to move. But there's something about when God calls us to something and we think it's going to be like easy or something. But Scott sent me this earlier in the week. When God called David to be a king, he didn't give him a crown. He gave him a giant. Yeah, let that sit on you for a minute. When God called Esther to be a queen, he gave her a crisis. Okay? He called Joseph to be a governor, and he threw him in prison. Okay? Does God like us to suffer? No. God knows how to do what it's going to take for you to become what he needs you to become, where you live, so that he can split the sky and come back and get us. You got to do your thing so he can do his thing. It's not a punishment. Start to look at challenge and difficulty and hardships every day after every day as God must think I am fire. If he can put this much stuff on me, because then he gives me the instruction to cast my care on him. So I'm not weighted down by the problems. I constantly serve them back to the one who can handle them, because I certainly can't. Right? So Jesus walks on the boat of the guys and he says, follow me. And they do it. So the second thing that comes to me is, do I follow him? Do you? How do you follow him? All the way or just when it's convenient? We pick the verses we like, right? You got to pick the verses in its entirety and let it be a food for you, a balanced diet, something nutritious that Jesus would want you to eat, right? I'm going to read this to us in Matthew 4. You can lean in. I'm going to give you the context of what happened. So this is Jesus is making his appearance public. Like I said, if you read this in Luke, you'll get some of these details. But Jesus came and he was baptized publicly by
John the Baptist.
Somebody studying in here. John the Baptist baptizing Jesus publicly. He says those great things. It's me who should be baptized by you. And Jesus is like, no, you got to do it so we fulfill scripture. And he's like, well, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. And he baptizes him. When he comes out of the water, the dove lands on him, right? Like the Holy Spirit, like a dove, lands on him. I'm not going to reteach Rick's message. You should look that up from a couple weeks back. So good. And the voice of the Father says, this is my son. Okay, what if, like right now, like the building just opened up and it goes, this is my son, I'm pleased. You would believe that forever. And you heard that voice and you saw it. But Jesus said, well, blessed are those who haven't seen and still believe and live it out every day in their lives and can carry the goodness of the mission of the kingdom to cast a net. We're going to be expert net casters by the time we're done. So Satan's tempting Jesus after Jesus is baptized and he's led up in the mountain. He's tempted by the devil, you know, hey, if you're really the Son of God, tries to tempt him with doubt. The enemy's going to try to tempt us with doubt. This is what Jesus was doing. All the things that he went through right before he goes to the guys and says, follow me. It's important to have a little context in your life. It'll help you understand why all the things that are going on are going on. It'll help you understand who and why things happen. And how is the next question that we need answered, right? Right?
Yes.
Monty, me and you. So Jesus was led up by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's another big clue. The word of God is the answer for everything. It might not say exactly go to Joanne's house and buy her this, but it will say, you know, you're my hands and feet. Do what I do. And God will speak to you something about your exact situation in every way. And then there's two more temptations of the Lord. And you get down to where verse 10, where Jesus says, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve. So the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. That's pretty awesome. And Jesus begins his ministry, okay? So when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay, it might be fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah said, that, you know, this land is going to fill the Lord. Let's go down to 16. It's all just talking about Jesus. He's the prophetic savior, that everyone who lives in darkness is going to see a light. And it says Jesus started to walk down. Now, what has already happened? He's already followed the commands of God and prophetic things to be baptized. He's already been up on the mountain. He's been tempted by the devil three different ways. And then he comes back down. There's another place where he casts out a demon when he comes down, one the disciples couldn't cast out, it says, too, right? So here's the thing. He goes through some things before he starts calling people up to him and next to him to follow him. In verse 18, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter. Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish for men." Nobody ever said that before, you guys. That never existed, a fisher of men. If you put it in common context for today, what do you do in your job? Do you build houses? I'll teach you how to build people, right? What do you do for your job? You sell things, you're a salesman? I'll teach you how to sell the gospel. You know, what do? You do internal workings? I'll teach you how to work in the inner workings of the Spirit. What do in your job? You serve? I'll teach you how to serve me. I'll teach you how to serve me to people, right? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. They're mending their nets. I'll take a pause right there, because whatever we talk about today, there comes a moment where you got to go pause and mend your net. You got to take a time out, you know, so you don't burn out and start offering from something you don't even have anymore, right? You go away and you mend your net and you take some time, because in the future, you're going to cast it out again. Okay? This is how the Lord speaks to me when I'm reading stuff. Do you guys get stuff like that too? When you're reading the Word and God will put some context right in the middle pertaining to your life and how you live and how you lead. It's good stuff. So they're mending their nets and he calls them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and they followed him. It says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sick people. What did Jesus do after he started assembling his team? It's right there. What did he do? Three things. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease, and his fame spread around all of Syria. And they brought to him the sick who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Wow. I could have called this message "Cast Your Nets," but Jesus said, "I'll make you fishers of men." And I want it to be relevant for today. I don't even like fishing, you guys. I don't. I don't like being paid. I know my friends do. I got some friends who can fish in here. I'm waiting to ever get invited for some kind of fish fry. Something will happen at some point. You got to catch some. Come on, get busy, guys. But I don't fish. I don't like to wait. I'm not patient. I don't want to put a worm on a hook. I don't want to put a cricket on a hook. I don't want to put anything. Maybe peanut butter. Okay, I might be able to do that. I don't want to sit in the sun and bake while I wait for a fish to bite that hook. I just want to come and eat the fish that you caught, right? I don't like the smell of it. I don't like the flies. I don't like the mosquitoes. But you know what? I'm not a fisherman. But I'm a fisher of men. Does that make sense? So it's like all of the things that happen in this analogy, you have to think of it on a spiritual term. The Bible says, he who is wise wins souls. He who is wise, she who is wise, wins souls. Are you winning any souls? We are going to win some souls. God's going to show us how to do it, too. He's going to teach us how to be fishermen. Number one, casting our nets. You know, cast the gospel message out to people. In this story, the disciples were not responsible for the haul. They were responsible to cast the net, right? We've said it like this around here. If 100 people are sick, line them up, and I'll pray for every one of them. And if every one of them die, line up another 100. I know you don't want to get in that line, but I'm just saying, if that happens, it's up to the Lord to heal or not. It's up to me to say the prayer and lay my hands on. The rest is God's work. Just like it's not my glory when it doesn't happen. It's not my failure when it doesn't happen. It's not my glory when it does. You know what I'm saying? God is sovereign. God is in charge. God is the one who puts the fish in the net. Our job is to cast the net. Where can you do that? And how can you do that? It requires some patience and it requires some work. And you have to have some faith. Faith is what happens when you throw out your net. We call it evangelism. How am I going to win some people to the Lord? What would that look like? And I know some of us, you know, some of us are just like so self-absorbed, we can't even imagine somebody next to us dying and going to hell. We're so distracted by every single thing that is offered to us. We don't have these thoughts. You know, I escape into Netflix. I escape into games so that I don't have to think about this for a second. Because any other time I'm not thinking about one of those things, I'm thinking about this. And I don't know how to reconcile that in my life. How can I keep going about the planet knowing that someone over here might not know him? And I didn't even cast the net. You know what I'm saying? Let's start to have a little conviction. It's not condemnation. It's not guilt. It's an invitation of the Holy Spirit to bring the word of the Lord to somebody who might need it. Right? So good. Our model for evangelism is casting a net. What does it look like? And another thing, I don't want us to feel like we're inferior, like we can't do it because our church is little or some of the people in here are crazy, you know? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if people in here. People get too crazy in here, they can go somewhere else. People get too wild. We'll take care of you. Don't worry. We'll protect you. But here's the thing, you can't be ashamed of what God has given you. We've got to move into a place where if people that you know would come in here and people like you start to fill this room, our troops become bigger. Our efforts become brighter and greater. You'll see on the night of trivia, this room will be packed because people will come and play a game. And that's the invitation, so be on your best behavior. Don't embarrass me. Make sure you're kind to everybody. No bad words, don't push anybody. Don't have a bad attitude if you don't win, bomber. You get what I'm saying? You have to start to put out your net. If you don't cast it, we don't care. Here's a scripture. It says, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? It's Romans 10. Y'all are going to hit that in your Bible study. Couple weeks. Listen to this scripture. It's from Matthew. It says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake. The kingdom of heaven was like a net that was let down into the lake, and it caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore, and they sat down and collected all the good fish in baskets, but they threw away the bad fish. And this is how it will be at the end of the age. Who do you think is saying all these things? It's not a trick. It's Jesus. Anything that is in the Gospels is going to be a story that's recorded what Jesus said and what he taught. And he's telling us at the end of the day, at the end of the age, that the kingdom of heaven is going to be like this analogy that we're using here today. The whole kingdom of heaven is going to be like a giant net dipped into the lake of humanity. And it will be pulled up and many fish will come. And the good ones, he'll keep. And the bad ones, he threw away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's the thing. You got to cast your net. When the net gets full, it's not up to you to decide who is a good fish and who's a bad fish. You just got to cast your net. There are bad fish. We all know it. There are people that will come and sit even among us that just are here to disturb and bug. And once we figure that out, well, we take care of it. We clean it up. We get back in focus of what we're here for. But the enemy is working hard as God is working hard. But I'll just give you a little hint. God is the winner. Okay? It's not because we're control freaks. We're just protectors of what God's given us to carry in here. And it's his job to sort out, they call it wheat and tares in another place. Jesus called it wheat and tares. But here he's saying good fish and bad fish. Not the fisherman's job to sort out who's right and who's wrong. In other words, when you run into somebody, it's not up to you to determine if they're good or bad. It's not up to you to decide, oh, they'll never come to church. They'll never, those people will never yield to God. You are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving in the earth, working. The Holy Spirit is calling men to repentance all the time. And he's counting on you when it's your job to go, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know? There's a friend that I have. She does my hair, but she's become my friend because she's just funny and cute, and I really like her. And she's, you know, become our family, like some of our family hairdresser. And so we talk. Your hairdresser knows everything. It's like an hour of therapy. There's been times I've sat there and she'll be like, I'm not going to charge you. I got too much out of this. I'm not going to charge you. I'm not even kidding. It's a good, kind of blessing of the Lord. And then there's times where I'll just tip her extra big, so I'll be like, I love you a lot. You know, because I know she takes care of me. Anyway, she sent me this little meme the other day, and she said, this made me think of you. And I was like, wow. Here's what it was. It was a girl making a video. It wasn't a meme. A girl's making a video, an influencer. And she's in Target, and she's just doing those little videos like I do. If you guys don't follow me on those, like and share. Anyway, but she's in Target, and she's looking at these shirts, and she's got her little face in there, and she goes, you see these shirts? She goes, these are witchcraft shirts. She's holding her phone the whole time making a video. These are witchcraft. This is, you know, it has the solstice of the moon, the solstice, or however you say it, the moon, and it's pretty, all the phases of it, but then it has a little, like, you know, a little block that you can chop things up. It has a little book of spells. It has a little, you know, little things, and all these other, a bat wing is on there, some hair, just different things. And she goes, this is witchcraft. This isn't just about the moon, a cute shirt. Don't wear it. You know, why would Target have this? Then she goes, and this one too. And it was astrology. And she starts to say, hey, this is, this is astrology. This woman is standing in Target. Okay. You ever been to Target? You ever seen me doing this? So I do stuff wherever I am. I don't care. So she's standing there and she goes, and this one is witchcraft too. It's astrology. And then somebody on the side goes, that's witchcraft? You think astrology is witchcraft? And she goes, yeah. And she shows the lady, and she's standing there like kind of like a zombie. It's a little creepy. She goes, that's not witchcraft. And she goes, yeah, it is, because it's divination. It's looking to perform your future outside of the Lord. And the woman goes, well, I'm a witch. And then she goes, oh, you are? And she puts it back to her, and she's like closer to her, and it's like, ugh, you know. And she goes, well, no wonder you don't think this is witchcraft. She goes, let me tell you about somebody who has more power than you. Do you know? And she's like, who? And she goes, Jesus Christ. She goes, no, he doesn't. And she starts backing up. And she goes, yeah, he does. And she starts moving forward. Jesus Christ, he died for you. He loves you. Jesus bled and died on a cross for your sin that you could be forgiven. The witch goes, I got stuff to do. And she goes, no, you don't. You're running away. Come back here. Jesus is in love with you. He set you in this place today so you could meet him, so you could know. And the lady moved away. And then she goes, don't buy those shirts. You know, it's just kind of funny. Why do I go to all the trouble to tell you a story? That is a modern way to be evangelistic. Once you grow your confidence, and I'm telling you, you don't step out in faith, you know, all strong and bold and ready. Courage isn't being fully ready to go. Courage is just stepping out anyway and trusting that God is going to meet you in it. And he's calling us to be this in the days that we live. There's something bigger than us. If we keep living for ourselves, it gets so boring and so mundane. It's like, how many things can we buy ourselves? How many meals can we eat? By the time I got to feed this thing again, I'm like, I got to feed this thing again. That's why I like sugar, because it tastes good. You know, I have nobody's with me on the sugar thing. That's okay. Cast your net. You're not responsible for who is good and who is bad. But you're responsible to preach the gospel. And it's not like, hey, if you feel like it, maybe you should. All in or all out. Fish or cut bait. Third, repair the net. There has to be a season where you take some time. This is where Jesus calls them. I'm just going to read the scripture again. A little farther up the shore, after he called Peter and Andrew first, he calls James and John. He sees James and John sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee repairing their nets. Nets wear out over time, just like your stamina. You know, you are a human being with flesh and blood. You get tired, and the Lord sees that. If you try to work past your own physical limitations, you're in the flesh. Oh, but I'm doing it for Jesus. He doesn't need you to do it. He lets you do it. You get to, okay? You get to, because the Holy Spirit fills you, and he fills you with love and confidence and ability to be able to see that you're more than you're living. And everybody around you is more than they're living. And he's just looking to get past the surface and into the soul of who you are. Opening that jar that your oil can pour out. What a great word. So constant use of your net, which it should be constantly being used, will wear it down. And there's no shame in that. It's just another part of what has to get done, right? So you go and you mend your net. Make it better. It's okay to take time to stop and repair. But don't give up. Don't give up just because you're tired. Just take a minute. You know, I'm in this place where I'm grieving. And I'm still grieving. Like even this morning we were singing that song, "You be the center of it all. You're the one I hold on to." That song. And me and Jesse this morning in practice, I was like, oh, I got choked up. Because grief doesn't have any boundaries. It just flies in there whenever it feels like it and messes with you. And so I was like, my mom would have loved this song. It's like, and I had a moment. And I have moments. And you just have to let it come when it comes. I can't do anything about it. It's part of who I am now, right? I'm not ashamed of that. But I'm not going to give up either. I still believe that he's the only one that can bring me from this life to that. He's the only one with the words of life to instruct me, right? So I'm going to cast my net. I'm not going to be responsible for the good or the bad. That's the Lord's work, but I'm still going to preach the gospel. What is that scripture? It says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And if you celebrate me and proclaim me before men, I'll do the same for you before my Father in heaven. And you know what's funny? You came to church today. Because before I told you that, you probably weren't accountable, but now you are. And so now you're going to be out and about, and God's going to say, tell her I love her. Tell them I love them. Go ask them if they know me. And if you don't, you are denying his very existence. Because as soon as you start this, it's almost like a power. It's like it gives you power. You're like, wow, I'm really walking in authority here. I really have the confidence of the King on my life. I really can walk in and no weapon formed prosper. Wow. Then you rest. Don't be ashamed to rest. And then you cast again, right? Even if you get rejected, you know, Jesus is asking those guys to cast again after they worked all night and didn't catch anything. How many times have you gone out? And here's the thing, too. A lot of the times you don't get the privilege of knowing that the people that you talk to surrendered to God. Because your job is to sow seed or water, or on occasion you get to close the deal and bring somebody to the Lord's Prayer. And even then, they're not done. That's the beginning of walking with Christ. Some water, some seed, some drive it all the way home, some disciple. We got a lot of teachers in here. We got good teaching in here. We have good teaching. We have good disciplers. We need evangelists. We need evangelists. And I think you're sitting right here. And you just don't know how to engage it. And I want us to just believe that God's going to show us how to engage it. And I'm going to tell you a story. Because you don't usually get to see, you know, your efforts. And there's been times when I'm tired and I'll just be like, Lord, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of doing it. I want to see this room full. I want to see it brimming with people. People that are happy that their faces even know that they're saved. And that they're out and about doing the kingdom work. And they're next to me and they encourage me when I'm around them. And they always got a scripture in their mouth. And they're ready to write a tithe check and make stuff happen around here. That's what I'm looking for. If this is that, we're living about right here. Okay, I've been working for 10 years on this, not by myself. Okay, this is where Jesus reduced the church from this many thousand down to 12 and called one of them a devil right here this morning. I just want to be with the right people. If you got the right people, it'll happen. The right people will make this stuff come together, you know. So there was a time I was just, this is, you know, this is 20 years ago, but it's the only time that God ever showed me that something I did, some little thing I did in my own embarrassment and frailty caused someone else to come to the Lord. All the other times I've witnessed, I don't know. Did they come to the Lord? I don't know. Are they saved? Are they alive? I don't know. That's not my job. My job is to cast a net everywhere that I am. Anytime that he speaks it to me, I do it. Okay? So I was pulling into this gas station that I frequented on my trip home as we lived out in the country. And you got to get gas, man, because you got a long way to go there and back. And so I would pull in here, and this girl, I saw her a lot of times, but she looked really tough. Like today, she would be just like, you know, black hair or some crazy color hair, lots of piercings, lots of tattoos. I have a lot of tattoos now, but back in that day, it wasn't acceptable like it is now. And she was hard. She like her, like she had really hard piercings, you know, like in their face. And And I walked in there, and you know, it was in the day when you had to put your card in the machine, and they went chick-chick to get your payment. I don't know. I'm telling you how old I am. Anyway, the kids are like, what? But here's the thing. I walk in there. I have to wait in line to pay. And it's my turn, and my heart starts to go do, 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 because the Holy Spirit is saying, tell her that I love her. And I'm like, I can't. I can't do that. Too scared. I didn't say that I was too scared. I was just trying to be cool, and I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't know her. Plus, she looks like she might kill me. You know, here's the thing. My heart. So I do it, but the whole time I'm like, what are the words? I'm trying to find the words. I'm looking at her. She's not looking up. I'm doing her thing, hands it to me. You know, kind of like people today. Every salesperson. When you walk into a store, have you ever heard of the words customer service? You know? Greet me when I walk in the door. Hello, how are you? You know, good grief. Anyway, that's another soapbox. So I walk in there. I stand in the line. I pay. My heart's beating real hard. I know that I'm supposed to say it, but I don't. And I leave. And I go get in the car, and that feeling that I had increased. Go in there and tell her. It's like when I watch my children correct my grandchildren, and they have to tell them something two or three times. It's so frustrating. Go in there and tell her that I love her. And I was like, fine. You know, I put the car in park, and I just, okay. And I'm just walking in there. Die, flesh, die. Just do it. Do what the Lord's calling you to do. This is a moment where you become an evangelist, and you're not a chicken little anymore. Do it. I'm psyching myself up. And I got to wait again. So I'm like, oh, God, hurry, Lord. You know, I got to do this. And so the guy finally leaves, and she looks at me because I've already been in there. And so she just gave me kind of like a look like, what do you want? But she didn't speak. And I just leaned in, and I go, hey, I just want to tell you, I just barely touched your hand, and then I took it off. I was like, hey, I just want to tell you, Jesus Christ, he lives, and he loves you. He told me to come in here and tell you that, and the life you're living is not the life he has for you, and you know he loves you. That's all. She goes, okay, yeah, have a great day. And I go out and I get in the car and I'm like, thanks a lot, Lord. I'm embarrassed, kind of embarrassed. And he starts to speak, you know, hey, if you're embarrassed of me, I'll be embarrassed of you. Don't be embarrassed of me. I work places you can't get. Just do what I say and let me do my thing. Because if you don't be salt and light, there's no flavor and there's no direction. And people are desperate for it. So I go home, I tell my husband, I tell my husband everything. I need a drink, I need a coffee, someone made fun of me, let's go on a vacation. I tell him everything. And I'm telling him this, and he goes, yeah, you never know. I mean, you plant a seed, you water it. That's him. Thanks, babe, that was really rich. My husband solved all my problems and told me not to worry about it. So I wait, I go to this ladies' meeting at church. I'm at church, and we had a ladies' meeting there, and it was pretty well attended, 100 ladies maybe. And big, huge lobby, and I just happened to be there. It was a Thursday night. Hurry. It was a what?
It was a
little way later. Yeah, it was a couple months. A couple months later. I forgot all about this girl. She comes in there. She comes in the door while I'm walking out into the lobby. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I know her. Where do I know her from? And we just kind of walk toward each other. Same way that girl walked to us, Angie, at the mall. The Holy Spirit does it. Ching, they're magnetic. This has to be a divine connection. Those two people must talk. That person knows what that person needs to hear, and he puts you together. And so she walks up to me, and I go, I know you. And she goes, you're Lisa, right? And I'm like, yeah. There's nobody in the lobby with me. But she looked a little better, still kind of edgy. And she goes, yeah. She goes, do you know my parents? They go here. And I go, I don't. She says their name. I go, oh, yeah, I know who they are. She goes, yeah. She goes, I thought maybe they put you up to that, you know, coming in and talking to me. I go, no, that was all the Holy Spirit, because believe me, I didn't want to do it. I go, you mean when I came and talked to you at the gas station? She goes, yeah, I got saved. I came in here that Sunday. I've been coming. I've been looking for you. I've been asking around and trying to find you. I finally figured out who you were, but I didn't, you know, you didn't know who I was. And I'm like, oh, well, are you coming to the ladies' meeting? She goes, no, I'm going to 12-step. I was like, high five, you know, high fiver. And I'm like, I'm so happy. I'm so glad you're here. How about I see you around here? You know, come to women's meeting next. She's like, yeah. I don't see her again for another month, another couple months. And at our church, it was a big church. We were on staff there. And there were times, you know, we do our little prayer circles around in here. Well, we did that at our big church too. It was awesome. And so I'm in a weird seat. I'm not sitting where I usually do. I'd come in late and I just kind of shoved in the side and I was just kind of sitting there. And they said, turn around. You don't want to have prayer circles this morning. And I turn around and it's her. And she's standing there and she's got on a, like a little pantsuit, you know. It's like cute, kind of cute. And I was like, oh, and her name is Tiffany. Tiffany. You would think her name would be like Rebel or something. I don't know. But her name was Tiffany. And I was like, hey, how are you? And she's sitting there with her parents and her mom just crying and hugs me, you know. And she goes, I'm so thankful that you did what you did that day. It changed her. It made her see that God could see her outside of us, outside of what we say, thank you. And I'm like, you're welcome, you know. But in my gut, I know that I almost didn't. And I know what it took for the Lord to go, go do it. Why are we like that? Now see, because of those hard experiences, it's become easier and easier and easier. Now I don't even hesitate. I don't even care who's with me. I don't even care if it's somebody who doesn't want me to be a witness. Yeah. Just whatever the Lord says, I'm going to try to do that the best I can. You know, move forward. We're standing in a line at Walmart in Colorado, me and Scott. And we're just buying some stuff, and we see a kid there. He's a cashier, and he's got a little pendant. And it's a Wiccan pendant. Well, Scott doesn't know that. So Scott just goes, hey, man, is that a cool necklace? I like your necklace. What is that? And he goes, yeah, I'm a Wiccan. He goes, what's that? Scott is the king of just relax, tell me your whole story. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And he goes, the kid goes, well, I mean, I'm a witch, I'm a white witch. And Scott goes, oh yeah. He goes, I'm a Christian. He goes, the power of Jesus Christ will set you free from Wiccan because there's a power beyond what you're looking for. You're looking for power, that's why you're in that. He goes, but Jesus Christ, and he just goes, yeah, really? He's just like, when you confront something evil with something good, people don't know what to think. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to accept it. But you are juicy, man. You're the light of the world. You got it on the inside. Speak it. Speak the name of Jesus. I know a name. Yeah. Cast your net. You're not responsible for what comes in. You're responsible to cast your net. And you're responsible to calm down and not be in the flesh and go rest when you need to. And then when it's time, you cast it again. Are you tracking with me, church? Yes. Do you hear what I'm talking about? These things are not like, if you feel like it. These things are the kingdom mission of our Lord. Can you stand up with me? Please. The kingdom mission of our Lord Jesus. What's your job? What's your job? Yeah, your job is reconciliation. What's my job? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. You're going to do it. You Christians are becoming disciples right in front of my eyes. It is not an optional career path. It is the will of God that he can present you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter rest. And I really believe God is bringing us to a time as Christians where we're all in or we're just going to be out. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for this good word. Thank you for your presence. I can feel you in this room. Thank you that you're calling us, God. Thank you that you're dividing the lines. You're making the darkness so dark. It's so obvious that that's dark. And you're making the light so much lighter. Father, help us not to walk around without oil. Help us not to walk around without extra batteries. Help us not to walk around and find ourselves in a deficit when you come. Help us to live this life all the way in, saturated by your goodness, by your anointing, your glory, your calling, walking on mission with the one who made us. Pursuers of God, people of your presence, God, who pray, possessing the land that you gave us. Father, everywhere that our feet touch, the soles of our feet touch it, we own it. Our Father owns it and he's given us the land. Help us to take it. Help us to knock down giants in the name of Jesus. Help us to have vision for how to extend our territory and show us how to bring people to the gospel, God, in a way that you're just irresistible, God. If we could just have an encounter with you, then we can't help but talk about it. Have your way, God. Have your way in this place. Heal us, Father. Make us into the Christians that are disciples that follow you in the name of Jesus. Make us fishers of men. Amen. Love you, church. See you next time. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.